Just in follow-up to that, we've mentioned a few times that we should die to the flesh. We've also mentioned sexual sin. So the next two questions sort of tie some of our answers together. When struggling with a sexual addiction, that of like David, why does it take so much time to be free from it? Why does... why does God allow these sexual addictions to happen? So when struggling with a sexual addiction, that of like David, why does it take so much time to be free from it? Why does God allow these sexual addictions to happen? And part B, though it's a different question, what does it mean to put the flesh to death, mortify, in practical terms, everyday examples? What does it mean to put the flesh to death, mortify, in practical terms? And don't want to assume too much, but probably it's safe to assume that there are emotions and attractions behind the sin. You had a picture of a magnet there. So difficult, not so much like a light switch on and off, but how do we get rid of those temptations, the emotions, the attractions that push us towards or pull us towards those temptations?
Joseph gives us an example, doesn't he? Where Joseph, it says that he would flee. He would even leave his coat behind. He didn't stay and let that attraction pull him and draw him. And what Brother Ramon was saying is, if it's a computer, leave the room. Put that computer in an area where other people will be so that you're not alone. Don't have one in your room where you close the door. If this is a struggle for you, this is a very real thing. And so leave that door open or put it in the room where everybody else is. If it's a person that you're struggling with in this area of sexual sin, then you need to stay away from that person. You need to remove that person from your life. Now, this is very serious, but how serious are you? This is really, how serious do we take sin? God took it so serious that he sent his son to die on the cross. And if we see it, as Brother Hadley said a minute ago, if we see it in that light, that's how serious God sees it. And so we need to remove ourselves from that. When I came back to the Lord years ago, 40 some years ago, walking with the world and coming back to the Lord, I left every friend I had. I left every single friend because they weren't going to walk the same direction I had. And for a while, I didn't have any contact with them. I left them. And until I was strong enough to go back to them and share the gospel with them. And this is the thing in our lives. We cannot play with sin. We need to be like Joseph and run.
Can I combine another question here? This question says, how do we recognize the difference between trial and temptation? Practically, how do we know when to fight, endure, and when to run? And from Scripture, we are told to flee youthful lusts. And that's one of the times that we're told to flee. Other times, we're told to fight against the enemy. But we're never told to fight when it comes to youthful lusts. We're told to run. And I think that we can take that as a practical application to our lives, that these things are not something that we can stand against. Don't put ourselves in this and say, I am strong enough. David was a man of God. And he fell. So we are not immune. We are believers. We are Christians. We have the Holy Spirit. But the devil is strong. Let's not stand in that way, but flee youthful lusts. So maybe someone else has another comment on this question as well.
Regarding the first question, why doesn't God prevent, or what does it say, this lust?
Why does God allow it? Yeah. Why does God allow it?
In Brother Tim's ministry or study, he mentioned repeatedly James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So man has the will, and the believer can sin or not sin. It is not God that is going to prevent this, but it is my own spiritual condition that would make me flee of this youthful lust. And the other thing which I think it was, we put the flesh to death. We're never told that we put the flesh to death. The flesh is put in the sight of God to death. But when it says mortify your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, it is the sins themselves, not the flesh. The flesh is, according to God's counting, he is put to death. Now another thing, the verse that was mentioned in 1 John, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It doesn't say even if any man repent, or if any man confess. When the believer sins, it becomes the Lord's takes the problem in his hand. It is up to me now to submit my feet in his hand. He's going to wash them. He is the one that can restore my fellowship. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So my duty when I sin is to leave my feet in his hand. He's going to wash them and restore my fellowship, without which, even before I confess, before I repent, he is the one that is going to bring me into the confession and the repentance. He says to Peter, if I wash thee not, you have no communion with me. So he takes the problem in his hands. As long as I submit myself to him, he's able to restore me.